Forgive me if I make some mistakes today. I had another homily ready to go that I've written during the week, but last night I decided that I had to say something else. And then I haven't been able to go back and really work on it today. It's been a little bit of a busy day. So this is not the well-crafted homily that I would like to give you. But that's kind of the nature of speech. It often fails to communicate adequately. You try your best, but sometimes you communicate poorly, which I will talk about later. The events of this last week with the mail bombs and then the synagogue shooting, along with past shooting of congressmen at their baseball practice and a mailing of rice and anthrax to various public officials, all remind us of the sorry state of affairs in our country, of the divisions that more and more radically separate us from each other. In today's gospel, Jesus comes across a man named Bartimaeus, and Jesus cures him of his blindness. It seems to me that many Americans today have a similar problem. So many Americans and human beings in general around the world are blind. Not physically blind, but a kind of mental or spiritual blindness. They're blinded by their ideologies or their unjust prejudices or their hatred or even by their corrupted religious views. This can lead to all sorts of distortions of political and social action, to extremes of speech, then to grossly unacceptable physical encounters such as harassments of public officials in restaurants and things like this, and even to the kind of extreme physical violence we're seeing all too often. The response to all this seems to be a near universal call to calm down the rhetoric, to scale back the harsh language we find in today's public discourse, especially in politics. The idea is that such harsh speech, leads to physical violence. And I agree, but I also disagree. Let me explain. In Scripture, Jesus twice repeats and affirms the fifth commandment, "You shall not kill." But Scripture makes it clear, and the church has always taught, that this is not an absolute ban on killing human beings in every single case. For example, the church has always taught that in the case of self-defense or even in just war, we can morally use physical violence and we can even kill an unjust aggressor. But at the same time, the church teaches that this must only come as a last resort or when it's truly necessary, so that we can only kill in those situations when other forms of physical violence don't work, and we can only use physical violence when other forms of fighting aren't possible or exhausted. And we can use these only as a proportionate response. For example, if someone slaps you, then you would be justified in maybe slapping them back, but not ever in killing them. It has to be proportionate. But if someone comes at you with a knife, they could kill you, and so you could pull a gun and kill them to stop them. It'd be great if you could sort of wound them instead of killing them, but sometimes that's not really possible in those situations. And again, you can only use physical force when all other means have been exhausted and don't work. Which means you must first use words. You discuss, you debate, you even argue before you use physical violence. But there's a problem with that too. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says you shall not kill, he immediately adds right after that, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the fires of hell. So does that mean we can't have a heated argument with each other? We can never use harsh words? Not really. For example, even Jesus, who tells us not to call our brother a fool, even he himself calls the Pharisees, later on, he calls them, you fools. He also calls them other names that are more harsh in that time. He calls them vipers and snakes, which is to compare them to the devil, which was a really very strong way of speaking. But he does that because in his judgment, the Lord, who loved the Pharisees completely and never made mistakes, he loved them, but he saw that that was necessary to do what he had to do, to get their attention. The only thing that would make them understand that they were really in big trouble, and probably also to communicate to the people that the Pharisees were in big trouble. Don't be like the Pharisees. So this falls under that same logic of using physical force. You can use the words that are truly necessary and proportionate to defend yourself or others. You should start out by being kind and amenable, but if you have to, you can use the words you have to in the situation to defend yourself. So where does this leave us? Clearly we have to use physical violence against those who use physical violence against us. So the guy who shot up the synagogue yesterday was justly subdued by the cops when they shot him. But that is clearly and absolutely not the case and not necessary in our political discourse. Even the physical confrontation of public officials and their families in public places is clearly not proportionate, not necessary. You see, because we have in this country enshrines right from the beginning in our foundational principles and law the safety valve against physical violence. As our founding fathers wrote in the very first article of the Bill of Rights of our Constitution, quote, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. And so we can fight our fights, we can defend ourselves with speech, with words. Can that fight, can that speech sometimes be hurtful? Yes, of course. But there's a lot to the old adage that most of us learned when we were children, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, certainly words can hurt us, but usually, if for mature adults, words can only hurt us if we let them. And a reasonable, mature person doesn't have to let words hurt them. And can hurtful words incite others to violence? Well, they clearly can if the words actually call for physical violence. Otherwise, only those who are mentally unstable really are triggered to violence by harsh words. So we have to be careful and prudent, proportionate in our choice of words. But on the other hand, we have to use the words that we need to communicate clearly, even if those words might be hurtful. Otherwise, we'd all just have to remain silent, lest we say something that might trigger a violent response for somebody who's mentally disturbed. Again, just like in war or physical self-defense, we should use words proportionate with the words that our opponents use. Now, in the current political climate, have the various sides always used proportionate language to fight? Absolutely not. Some are way over the top. But which ones? I think that's a matter that all of us would have to judge personally. I mean, is it worse to compare someone to Adolf Hitler or to just to call them ugly or stupid? Is it worse to call someone a bigot or to call them a liar? I don't know. But I do know that the protection of free speech has allowed Americans to fight for what we believe in without resorting to physical violence, and has held our country together for over 240 years. Except one time, when we ran out of words to argue for or against human slavery. And then we had to go to physical war with each other, and 625,000 Americans died. That would be today roughly about 6 million Americans. So let's not be afraid of battling with words, not even with harsh words, because it seems to me that if freedom of speech is suppressed, there will once again be nothing left to defend ourselves with, to defend our opinions, our beliefs, the opinions of both sides and all sides. Nothing left but bloody civil unrest, violence, and even war. The key to me seems to be to never to speak from blindness. When we're blinded by ideologies, unjust prejudices, hatred, or corrupted religious views. And so the answer for us, and for all Americans, and really for the whole world, is to be like Bartimaeus, who was told by the disciples to be silent. We read that today. They told him to be silent. But filled with faith in Jesus, he begged him, "Master, I want to see." And after he'd received his sight, he says, Scripture says that then he followed Jesus on the way. The answer to all the violence is to follow Jesus. To follow his teachings about violence and about speaking. To remember that Jesus taught us that while our opponent may in fact be our enemy, Jesus calls us even to love our enemies. This won't, can't, and shouldn't force us to never say anything harsh about them or to them, but it will force us to never say anything that doesn't really need to be said. Now, of course, in the heat of anger, it's pretty hard to control our words. But if the love of God and the reason and justice of God govern our tongues, it gets a whole lot easier. And with the grace of Jesus Christ, who always spoke the truth, and even sometimes used harsh language when it was necessary, with the grace of Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Now, I know that I've said some of these things today very clumsily, and that someone might hear them and be offended. That's probably my fault in choosing the wrong words. But that's kind of my point. Words are like that, and human beings are like that. Which reminds us of another thing to remember. When we listen to others, listen with love and reason in Christ and try to understand even the most poorly articulated thoughts of others. As we now move more deeply into the mystery of this Mass, let us ask our Lord Jesus to shower us and our nation with his grace and his love. Let us pray for our politicians that they might fight boldly for what they believe in, but fight only with words that are truly necessary, always subject to the judgment of Jesus. And let us pray for each other and all Americans that we may never resort to physical violence to defend our beliefs, but rather always forcefully speak up for what we hold dear. Never being blinded by false values of the world, but always seeing with the eyes of faith in Jesus Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.